All right. You should have your Bibles open to Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. And what we're concerned with now is the last majority of verse 8. Once you get past the exhortation issue, Paul says, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." In our last lesson, we've been talking about the three, what Paul calls here, gifts, or what we now know once the more excellent way has come in, that these are actually offices, giving, ruling, showing mercy, that fit with and meet one of the two needs that every local assembly has, especially as it begins. There are edificational needs, which is the first section that met those, but these three areas meet the practical needs of the local assembly. And what I've done in the last several Bible classes is just to once again underscore the fact that you're not told what to do. You're told that there's an office that could be met, that can meet practical needs where giving is concerned, ruling is concerned, showing mercy is concerned, but the actual nuts and bolt details of what to do isn't spelled out. That should not be a frustrating thing. As a son, it would be enormously frustrating to most Christians today who have either no understanding of their sonship position or see themselves under the law in some way, or see God as one who has to somehow supernaturally tell them exactly every single thing to do for what his will is. But what you have in sonship is adulthood, sonship style thinking, which means you have liberty. You're not under a tutor and a governor that tells you what to do. And you and I have agreed, at least I've agreed, that we're going to meet halfway on this, kind of a 50-50 proposition. I'm going to give you enough so that you can therefore begin to look around this assembly and recognize that there's certain areas that you could fill an office in this church that has to do with meeting some very practical needs, whether it's what you give, and we've learned that giving is far more than money, time, talent, energy, expertise, experience, all kinds of things that can be given. And by the way, I don't know if you realize this or not, you should just naturally realize, that means what I would expect to see in the local assembly is a bump up, at least, in communication. That some communication is going to have to take place, because you're going to have to inquire sometimes. You might have to ask a deacon, or you're going to have to ask myself, or you're going to have to ask one another, well, is there a need in this area? And if there's not, fine. But you're going to find yourself in one of these three by the time we're done, if not in multiple combinations of them. But in one of those three, you can find yourself as a son laboring with your father, doing what we talked about in our last lesson, purchasing up for yourself merchandise, sonship merchandise, with the spiritual capital that you have to redeem some time, and therefore invest yourself properly in the time that you have for the training for your heavenly vocation in which we find ourselves. Well, with all that I said last time and the several lessons before that, really, for the first time, what I'm hoping happens in this last part of verse 8 is that the eyes of your understanding, as Paul will call them later on in the book of Ephesians, they started to crack open and blink open a little bit back in sonship establishment, but hopefully they're now beginning to have some focus in the eye. You have to start seeing things with another set of eyes than your physical eyes, but the eyes of your understanding should now begin to focus a little bit more, and the local assembly now in which you sit, you look upon now not just for simply these matters of where I could give or where I could rule or and we'll discuss what that means, or where I could show mercy, but what I mean by the eyes of your understanding beginning to focus a little more, you're now looking at those things and seeing beyond them as to them fulfilling an administration of the Lord himself and serving to fulfill one of the operations of my Father. That's why he and I are laboring together anyway, so that I can fulfill an operation he wants to get accomplished. And that's what you should begin now focusing on. And you know at least two of them. We've gone over them. We're not going to go back and review all of this, but back when we were looking at all the gifts and everything, when we were back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we were looking at the way Paul had to get the Corinthians who had taken the whole list of gifts and inverted them, and the very least gift of all was the gift of tongues, and they were all doing it, and Paul had to come along and take the gift of tongues and stick it where it belonged, last, not first. And not only that, he had to straighten them out. It took him a whole chapter to straighten them out on the fact that tongues was never, ever to be done by every single believer. Tongues was never to be done within the walls of a local church. And he got those gifts straight. And when we were looking at all of those, we saw that there were several that went away when the more excellent way came in, when the complete written word of God took place. But we saw a couple of those that are still now and ever will be during for the duration of this dispensation of grace in existence. So you know a couple of these, and one is the communication of God's Word. That falls under what we looked at in the previous chart here. That falls under the edificational needs of the local assembly. Not that all of these gifts here are now, or even offices now, are in operation. Some were temporary, but these are all in operation. But you know that these edificational needs go to an operation of God that has to do with the communication of His Word. And even under practical needs, we talked about one of those operations that God has that stands behind these offices. Do you remember what that one was? Just asking. What's the operation, one of the operations we saw in that list of gifts that you could say that stands behind practical needs of an assembly? In other words, all you got to do is figure out what the other, there's only two that we looked at that was still in operation. One was the communication of the Word, and the other was, well, maybe it'll refresh your mind. Just hold your place there, flip over to 1 Corinthians 12, come down to the end of the chapter. When Paul ranks the gifts, verse 28, God has set some in the church, first apostles. I like the APT, apt to teach. First apostles, second prophets, AP, third teachers. There's your best gifts. Apostles, prophets, teachers. There's no more apostles today. I know there's a lot of people that call themselves apostles, but and prophets in the sense of receiving special divine revelation from God, those are no longer in existence. That all was replaced when the completed word came in. Thirdly, teachers. There's your edificational needs that the bishop of the local assembly is meeting. But then he says, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. When we talked about such things as there's a particular operation that stood behind miracles. By the way, God does not look at miracles and healings as the same thing. There is an operation that he had that stood behind the miracles. There was an operation that he had to achieve that stood behind the healings. But when it came to helps and governments, what did we say? It was the operation that stood behind helps, governments. By the way, governments, ruling, I'll remind you then. We talked about local church orderliness. And again, all of this translates, by the way, in case you don't realize it, all of this translates into what this creature is going to be, how it's going to function out there. Right now, and the creature being everything outside the earth, I ought to blot the earth out of that thing, and all of that intelligentsia structure that the creature has with the principalities, powers, thrones, mights, and dominions, they don't know anything of that out there. They're a bunch of selfish, self-righteous, egotistical, corrupt, unkind entities that sit on those positions right now, that occupy those positions. And one of the things they don't have out there is orderliness. But your body does. Keep thinking of your physical body. Now, I know for some of you that's a stretch. That's going to be a tough thing to think about. But when you think about your physical body, There's orderliness to it. Things are done decently and they're done in order. When things get out of order, then there's problems in the body. But what I'm after right now is that you come along and you understand and appreciate the fact that there's far more afoot, so to speak, with that godly suspicion that I talk about. And that's what I want to focus our attention on that will help us to be able to determine what to do in giving and what to do in ruling and what to do in showing mercy. But every son in the local assembly is to be a participant in those things. And when it comes to the practical needs that every local assembly has, in which the majority of you, I don't think very few of you will ever desire to be a bishop or a deacon, but the majority of you will participate in giving, ruling, and showing mercy. And when it comes to those practical needs, you're to see what a marvelous opportunity that is for the way in which you're taught it. To not repeat, not come along and fret or be frustrated or chew your fingernails down wondering, what am I going to do? I know I need to. As a son, I should be, but what do I do now? No, that should not be your attitude whatsoever. If everything in sonship orientation establishment and everything we've done has worked properly and effectually up to this point, you should be enthusiastically looking forward to learning something that you can use in a very practical way in your sonship life now. And as Paul will say later on in the pastoral epistles, that has benefit for the life that now is and the life that is to come. That's training now and being useful in the creature later on. Truth is, if everything's worked properly and effectually up to this point, when you're told about the basic operations of God in connection with the local assembly and what it is, and you're given the general description of offices here available to you, and knowing your Father is looking at you, looking to you, looking for you to make your first intelligent sonship decision accordingly, your inclination should be the Father coming along and saying, "All right, I'm going to tell you what to do." And he goes, and you go, "No, no, no, no. Don't tell me. Don't say." That should be your attitude. Do not tell me what to do. Don't say another word. But with your intelligent thinking now, and intelligent communication and fellowship and communion with your Father in intelligent sonship prayer. And folks, this should be something you talk to him about. Don't just lightly say, "Well, I'm going to do the giving part and I'm going to just keep giving the money that I give." That's okay, but you need to sit down with him and at least say, come along and talk about some things that you say, "You know, Father, I never saw what I was doing in this light before. I want to continue doing what I'm doing, but now I'm doing this as unto you to fulfill an operation. I had no idea when I was putting something in the grace box back there that you had a divine, diverse operation that was to fulfill and train me for." Or when you give time to clean or to do any of the other aspects of this assembly as a body, you're going to come along and make a choice all on your own, and you're to confirm that with your Father. That you've thought that out. You haven't just been flippant about it. And you may even want to confirm that amongst the saints themselves in the local assembly. That is your choice with respect to either the area of giving or of ruling or of showing mercy. Well, let's now turn our attention. Hopefully that makes sense. And to me, it's just, this is kind of like, this is where I've been going. This is what I've been waiting for all these years of background work. And it's not disappointing when you say, "You mean all I got available is giving, ruling, and showing mercy?" If that's your attitude, you have no idea what these things can do. Just like the issue of coming along and saying the first thing our Father wants to teach us about is His godly love. Love? Well, I love. I can love. I love my basketball or whatever. No, you're not getting it. And that's what's so critical, and that's where I am hoping we don't start coming apart as a local assembly, and that the fabric, instead of coming tighter woven together, starts to fray apart. So I'm a little bit concerned. Well, hopefully that does make sense, and your attitude is that enthusiasm that should be there to begin, no matter how meager it may look, but to begin finally operating with my Father, setting my mind with the kind of description to do it the way he describes it here, with simplicity or diligence or cheerfulness, and have some intelligent understanding of what that is. Well, let's return to the issue of your laboring with your Father in his business, the local assembly, and keep that body thing in mind as being many members of one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. That's what we are. That's why I've told you, I've tried every way I know how to articulate it, that when you put your hand on that door out there and walk in this assembly, if you've determined to be a member of this assembly, and I don't mean a voting member where you've got the official paper, we don't even give official papers, but you're a member of this assembly, when you walk in that door, there is a dynamic that takes place when we assemble as sons and daughters, as one body in Christ and members one of another. There is a living union dynamic. And that I'm going to hammer away on that, because that's how you're to think. You don't just walk in here as being an individual member of a club or an organization. You're a member of a body, and there's no other gathering of people anywhere on this earth that when they come together, that living union dynamic takes place. This is going to ramp up our understanding of communion when we take the Lord's table. This is going to ramp up our understanding of the creature, because what takes place among us is to take place out there when we as sons get seated in that creature. And it becomes alive. And with these gifts, you begin to recognize there's far more to putting functional life into practice than just into my individual life. But functional life has got to take place in this assembly. And it begins here. Meager as it is, it begins here. Well, anyway, let's get back to this issue of laboring with your Father now, and meeting practical needs of the local assembly, and these three generic terms or categories that you determine to labor in, giving being the first one. Well, let's think once again about that giving issue with a healthy respect and a healthy appreciation now for the fact that giving can be more than just giving finances. If you think about that generic term, giving, to better help you out, and that's what I'm hoping this will do, and it's going to be kind of the final thing, but to help you out, to make decisions to give if you so choose. If you were to, you know, it's always one thing. Anybody can define a word. Defining words is pretty easy. What gets tough is describing them. But if you were to describe giving, as opposed to simply defining it, but you were to describe it as an operation of God, or think and perceive what the operation behind giving would be. Because you now have that, you're bringing to the table that healthy appreciation that it's not just money, but it's all these other things. And I know that giving meets a practical need in the local assembly, but I guess what I'm asking you now is to think a little more perceptive about that, or a little deeper about that, and think about, as an operation of God, what would you say that all giving in a local assembly, financial or otherwise, is concerned with? In other words, what area of practical need is giving concerned with? By the way, if this will help you out, this is also connected with body type thinking. Think about, let your eyes scan back. Don't ever lose that verses 4 and 5. You got to bring that into verses 6, 7, and 8. So you're thinking about your body, your own physical body. Yeah, usefulness. But what have you just done? That's good. That's not bad. But that's one of the body attributes. I think we can describe it as an operation without using the same terminology as the body attributes. But you do see it that way. What you give is going to be useful. You are right, but I think we can perceive it a little more. Okay. All right. It strengthens it. Now we're starting. We're on the outer ring of the target. We're starting to move now toward the bullseye.
It is to sustain the entire operation of the assembly.
Okay. That's very good. Okay, you said sustain and maintain. Anybody else? That's good. I don't care if it isn't. That's a good thought. And your thought is tracking very well. Function, yeah. All the giving that goes on in a local assembly is for what? To keep it alive. By the way, you've already dealt with the issue I'm after. I'm just letting you go on. Because this is, I like, I love your thought process. It's going right down the line it needs to go down. So you're doing very well. The mutual benefit, yeah. All right. Nobody else? Okay. Well, not that he needs his halo shined or anything, but Cecil pretty much nailed it. As far as what he said, and the only reason I say that is because I have put a lot of thought into selecting my terminology very well. Katie also brought up, and so did Steve and Gail, everybody did. Everybody had great thoughts on it. But I'll do with you what Keith often did with me. We're going to now corral that thinking a little bit. My understanding is when you think about giving, and right now we're not going to be concerned with doing it with simplicity, although as I said, that's pretty easy to understand. You're not going to have simplicity. You're not going to have any mixture with it. It's going to be without strings attached. You're going to do it because you simply want to do that. It's not going to be like I showed you before, like that. Well, I'll do it, but here you go. I can remember a treasurer once paid me, and when she handed me my check, she held on to it real tight, and I had to pull it out of her hand. That's when you know you need to change treasurers. That's Jeff Dunham's doll, Walter. I still think he looks like Joe Biden. But anyway, we're not going to concern ourselves with that right now. What we're after, I thought we needed a little levity. What we're after is again, getting a grasp on and coming up with a perception on a level that's farther or deeper than just simply saying needs need to be met. But that there's an operation, there's a diverse operation our Father wants to accomplish. And one of the first things that you understand about giving, whatever area it is, finances or any other giving that has to do with the local assembly, my understanding is that area of practical need that giving is concerned with, oops, let's get that one off of there, is to sustain. Cecil used the word sustain. That's dead on. That's, as Keith would say, that's bang on. To sustain the existence of the local body, the body, or the local assembly. To sustain the existence of the body or the local assembly. And I chose the word sustain very carefully. A lot of other words were said, very good. In fact, Cecil even said to sustain and maintain. Well, if you get a good dictionary and you spend some time dealing with it, you'll find that the word sustain embraces all of the ideas of maintenance, of supply. I thought maybe somebody would come up with that one. To supply the assembly, to support the local assembly. And you can just talk about the body, your body. You realize you have to give your body certain things? Or, as Katie said, what will it do? It'll die. That's right. One of the features that God ingeniously did when He designed the institution of the local church was to design it as a body that had need of being given certain things that sustain it. Because that operation alone is an operation that you will ever be engaged in the creature. You might think, well, how in the world would that be? Well, there are ways. But this issue of sustaining it is a big one. And if you think about it, of all the three terms, giving, ruling, showing mercy, they go, do you see anything in just what we've said here when we're talking about sustain the existence of the body? Giving sustains it. Ruling is going to come along and do something else. Showing mercy is going to come along and do something else. Do you see anything as far as the progressive development of those three terms? Well, I'm not sure if you've got godliness involved there as far as thinking, living, labor, but you've got another progressive development going on here. Well, not really. I think it's got to be far more general than that. All I'm looking at the kind of overall progressiveness of, okay, giving is to sustain the body. Rulership, and maybe I'm asking this question out of turn because it's a little early maybe to ask it, but I was just trying to see if you've given thought about it. If my understanding's correct, doesn't giving go to the largest, most overall issue of the three? If you think about your own body, it has to be given certain things that go to the welfare of the entire body. From the tip of your toes to the top of your head. That giving, your whole body has to be sustained, right? You have to be given food. So your whole body has to be sustained. If one part of your body is not sustained, what happens to it? It atrophies and dies, has to be cut off. It has to be, you have to sustain the entirety of the body. But when you're talking about ruling, the giving, to me, the giving, the way I, my understanding is, the giving, it's kind of the largest, most overall, even the giving of financial means or otherwise, it's absolute. That has to take place. If that doesn't take place, the body dies. What about ruling? If that doesn't take place, does the body die? No. And even less showing mercy. If that doesn't take place, the body doesn't die. That's the kind of thing I'm wanting you to see. It goes to the most critical, to the next most critical, and to the third most critical. And I said that pretty well right there. Because I use critical for each one. They're all critical. But the most critical of all, The most important, and I'm going to use the word important, and that's a bad term because I'm not trying to say one is less important, but I am. But to get the point across, more than anything else, there's a way of skirting it. More than anything else, giving has to be done for the body to live. And then the next, more than anything else, ruling has to, and then the next, showing mercy. That's the kind of progressive development I'm talking about. The issue of giving is the most critical of them all. It's vital. It's critical to the very existence of the local assembly. It lies at the core of a body's life. I don't know if you ever realized that or not or thought about your body that way, but the reason you're alive right now, and most of you are, is because certain things, critical, practical needs have been given to your body. You may have given them yourself, or someone else may have given them, but something had to be given to you or you'd be dead. It lies at the very core of a body's life. Giving does. A body has to be given sustenance. Sustain it. It has to be given sustenance. God designed it to be that way. Or else it dies. Why? Because of the living nature of a body. It uses and is designed to utilize resources. That's not a bad thing. God designed your body to use resources. So there could be an establishment of giving being done. Because He has a grand purpose for all of that and designed for all of that. But the simple matter is that a body has to be sustained. It has to be given things in order to survive. And the idea that lies behind any giving in a local assembly and all the giving, all the various types of giving in a local assembly as a body, with body type thinking, is the idea of exerting yourself in some way in order to keep the body of the local assembly from, I'm going to use a great word I found in Crabb's Synonyms, from sinking into a state of death. That's why you give to something. That's why you give to a body. You keep it from sinking into a state of death. And keep it from dying. Keep it alive. Keep it vital. You sustain something, you give to bear it up. Well, that little piece of information alone right there should give you some great help in understanding you're fulfilling an office that has to do with giving. So with being able to appreciate the manifold aspects of giving that has to go on in a local assembly, and by being able to perceive the area of practical need that giving is concerned with, it's concerned with sustaining the existence of the body, which is to have an appreciation for the operation of God that lies behind all giving. You think the average Christian churchgoer this morning who threw his money in the Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket or whatever they passed has any concept of what lies behind what they're just going through the motions doing or what God designed it for? Well, with that information, you should really start having a better appreciation for why you have three offices here and the order of them and the progressive development of the list of three. In other words, even though all three terms are generic, and we've noted that many times, they're not so generic that you can't see that they go from giving being the most overall practical need to ruling being a little more specific to the actual members. When you're going to be ruling in a particular situation, whether you're going to take charge when we have a Sonship gathering event, I don't know how it gets done. I just told Cecil, and Cecil did something. And whenever we have these events, in 5 minutes or 10 minutes, we can transform this place from a classroom into a mess hall. And somebody has to take rulership over that. That's just one aspect. There's recordings going on every class. Somebody has to take rulership over that. But you can see how that's more narrowly focused than giving to the sustaining of the body. But you see how ruling is a little bit more specific to actual members of the body. And then you perceive that showing mercy is really, of the three, the most specifically directed to actual members of the body. This almost goes into like one-on-one. Well, if you think about it for a moment, your physical body operates on all three of those levels. It needs something given to it to sustain it. It doesn't just function wildly with no order to it, but it actually functions decently and in order. And, well, it should. Some bodies are very indecent, but that can easily be recognized. And whether you realize it or not, every one of you in this place have shown mercy to your body. I'll let that one just hang there for a moment. But you have. If you understand that showing mercy is more than the first thing that comes to mind, like having pity on something, but that showing mercy has more to it than that. We'll deal with that in detail a little bit later on. But to round out the giving aspect this morning, that what we've just done here, it may not be the most scintillating thing you've ever attended here, but what we've just done is kind of like an exercise of how you're to start thinking. When we get to, especially each section we get to in our Sonship curriculum, when we get to the one that has to do with labor, this is going to take place every time. We're going over it real slow now and real methodical now and real detailed now. But we'll get to the point where we won't have to even hardly say anything about it. It'll become second nature to you. But it's not second nature right now. And so what I wanted to point up to you in all of this, not only to try to give you the 50% that I wanted to give you so that I wouldn't cross the line and say start telling you what to do, but it should point up to you the kind of work that I talk about, the kind of time and further perception you need to have in order to have some intelligence to your decision. You're not just going to unintelligently decide, but you're going to take some time to think about it, even if you don't determine that you're going to do anything different than you've been doing, but to do it with now the frame of mind that your Father wants you to have, so you're laboring with Him in what you've already been doing. But now you're adding to that all of this labor aspect to it so that the meaning of it now becomes far more meaningful than it ever did before, and the training mechanism that's involved in it is appreciated by you and it gets its job done. That's what we're after. The bottom line is that every bit of this accomplishes a job, gets a job done. And I don't mean a job within your inner man. And so that's the kind of work to determine to operate in one or more of the offices that you have to put. In other words, it gives you hopefully some more direction or guidance or more to go on in making up your mind as to a Sonship decision to operate in one of the offices, and at the same time not be told what to do as a tutor or governor would do. Well, this is the kind of work, though, that goes into this, that you're expected to do, and the kind of time that you're going to have to put in all the labor aspects of your Sonship life. So you might as well get used to it. Therefore, when it comes to you determining to operate in giving, in the office of giving, no matter what you give, That's to be understood as sustaining, the being of the meeting practical needs of the sustaining variety. That's what I'm doing. I'm meeting practical needs in the assembly and the body as a sustaining variety for the existence of that body, for the existence of that local assembly. And even though you may not make, as I said, any adjustments in the way you do what you do, you should acknowledge a very real adjustment has to take place in the way you view that giving and bring all that into line now with sonship labor. And that's your job to do. Well, I think we're going to stop there for today. We may be a little bit early on time here, but we've got a meeting that we have to get to here. But what I'm after is that think between now and Wednesday about the next two. Start thinking, and we're going to deal with these words at the end here, but start going ahead and thinking about ruling. And think about what is it that lies behind. That one probably is the easiest one of the three because we've actually touched on it back in the 1 Corinthians 12 passage. But the one I think you're going to really need to work on is showing mercy. And start thinking about showing mercy. And here's where you need to spend time about maybe dealing with the word mercy on your own and thinking about it beyond just simply, it's not just a synonym of showing pity. But the thing that can corral your thinking so you don't get scatterbrained, and I'm talking about myself, I have a shotgun mentality when I see words. Sawed-off shotgun. It's like it's just a spray of thoughts all over the place and they have to be compacted together. But when you think about showing mercy and the way your body might show mercy to itself, the way that body conduct and body behavior would show mercy, what is, Cindy might even be able to come with this easier than anybody in here because her and I went to a church where we had mercy defined a particular way. How did Harley always define mercy? Well, that look told me everything. Oftentimes it would be defined as grace in action. Grace in action. But does that tell you what the operation behind that is in a body? Not exactly. And that's what we've got to get to. Not just defining a word, but describing the operation. What practical need in a body does showing mercy fulfill? Those are the kinds of things you need to be thinking about and the kind of work that needs to be put into this so that when we conclude verse 8, you're naturally snapping up opportunities of serving in offices in this assembly so that you can come along and say, I'm doing this, I'm giving, so that the sustenance, the sustaining of the assembly continues to go on. I'm going to rule when the time arises and I could do that, or maybe I'm not. I'm going to encourage someone else to do that. But that function has to do with something about the body itself, an operation behind that, and showing mercy. That's a fun one. I've been having a lot of fun with that one myself. You're going to do that with cheerfulness. You're going to rule with diligence. You're going to give with simplicity. And folks, when that all is happening, we'll never again be able to say we're not functioning properly as a local assembly. We may not be functioning fully, but we are functioning properly. And that's an exciting development for any local assembly, including ours. Well, we'll stop right there and we'll pick this up and carry on.